remix.
As I said from the beginning, from the first time I saw your account, I said, you're doing something that nobody else is doing in medicine. And by the heavens, you must continue. Because you are showing the young generation what is possible. You must continue.
Thank you for listening. You're listening to Medicine Remix.
Medicine Remixed.
Yo, Medicine Remix, what's going on? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? What's happening? Yeah, Boss Show, man. Y'all doing the damn thing. Hey, check it out. This is Cyber Shots, man. And I don't know about what you're talking about. It's cool with the colors and everything. But what I'm doing right now, I'm right-handed. And I'm doing everything left-handed for a week. Trying to, you know, exercise the other side of my brain. Other side. The other side of my brain. You know, I'm doing everything left-handed for a week. Eh, I don't know. Maybe you can do a show on it. But, hey, I'm digging the show, man. Peace.
Cyber Shots, thanks for the call-in and the kind words, homie. You know, it's interesting that you bring up what I like to call the neuroplastic exercise of using your non-dominant hand more in an attempt to rewire your brain. This is something that I've been trying to incorporate into my own life, actually, after the all-time documentary interview I did with neurosurgeon and artist Dr. Catherine Coe, aka Doc Ambidexter, a little over a year ago, where Dr. Coe talked about learning to use her non-dominant left hand almost as well as her dominant right hand for everything from writing to painting to doing brain surgery. And she cites this as the single most important change she made in her life that influenced the capacity of her own brain. Although no formal research has really been done to study this phenomenon, as she admits in the interview as well, I think she's just about the best person to weigh in on your question, given that not only has she successfully converted herself into ambidexterity, but she also has a deep understanding of the human brain as a brain surgeon. So, I thought for this installment of Ask Medicine Remixed, it's only fitting to revisit and reboot that specific portion of my conversation with Doc Ambidexter, although I highly, highly, highly recommend listening to that entire episode, which still stands as our most listened to episode of Medicine Remixed to date. And if you happen to listen to that episode and are thirsty for something of similar caliber, definitely check out the documentary interview I did recently with Dr. Mike Natter, if you haven't already. So, Cybershots, thanks again for the question / suggestion for this episode, my dude. And to everyone else listening, hope y'all enjoy or re-enjoy this classic cut about all the potential benefits of exercising your non-dominant side. And in case you didn't already know, you're listening to the one and only Medicine Remixed.
I think you started something a while back, probably shortly after you decided to become ambidextrous.
Whoa.
Which I want to get back to that too. But the organization was called Ambidexter, is that right? It's something that you started a while back to teach how to use both hands?
Yeah, you know, when I was in medical school in Hawaii, my first, you know, your first and second year, you know, actually wrote on paper back then. And I, you know, for me to stay up, for me to stay awake, I don't do well when I'm sitting, and in one place I move a lot. And so to stay awake, I just, you know, one day I just said, okay, I'm going to the left, I've switched to the left hand because I have to concentrate.
I'm focused, man.
And so then after, you know, a while, I became like being able to write with both hands. You know, I've told people along the way, you know, this has made a huge difference in me. But, you know, the thing is, it is so difficult. It's like learning a second language.
How did you think to do that? Like, is it something that you read or?
No.
Like, how did you?
No, I did it to stay awake. I said, you know, how can I stay awake, listen to this pathology thing? Okay, well, let me move the pen to the left hand, and then I'll have to stay awake, otherwise it'll fall out of my hand. And so I really had to concentrate to take notes with my left hand. And yeah, half of them, you know, the first month I couldn't read any of them. And so, but then, you know, gradually it, you know, it's like riding a bike and, you know, gradually the motor fibers kick in and you get it because, you know, switching to the left hand, unlike a language, which is, you know, it's more cognitive, switching to the left hand requires motor skills too. And so, it, you know, requires you concentrating on the left hand, but also writing too. And, you know, I think it helps in surgery too, because, you know, surgery is physical. Surgeons are athletes, essentially, who think on their feet, you know. And so I think the ability to use both hands, I think it was an advantage in surgery. So, it, you know, that the whole process of switching over to the other hand was, you know, not only helping me be more creative, I think, and also, you know, physical skills too, you know, being able to use both hands, not tiring your right side. Are you right-handed or left-handed, by the way?
I'm right-handed. My wife is left-handed.
Yeah, I mean, just not tiring your right hand, right side, not fatiguing your right side. So it helps to kind of like, you know, like balancing the tires, rotating the tires. It helps to be able to, you know, kind of take some of the heat off your right side, mechanical wear. So, you know, there's a mechanical thing, there's a cognitive thing, but it's very difficult. It takes a lot of determination. Actually, I've preached it a long time. I don't know if I've ever gotten any converts to switching over.
It's like, you know, it's something that I did not even really hear about, even in all of the social media phenomenon, like, you know, accelerated learning and, like, you know, that kind of thing. It's just something that I haven't heard of, but it makes so much sense when you're describing it. How long did it take you before, you know, you felt like, I'm left-handed now, I could totally use my left hand?
Well, you know, it was the hardest thing I did. It was harder to become left-handed than it was to become a neurosurgeon. Can you imagine? And it was. But it was the best thing I ever did. If there's one thing that I did to help myself that was free, that was it.
Major key alert.
And I really became, I have to tell you, I really became ambidextrous. You know, I don't use my left hand as well as I use my right. I'm not a natural ambidexter. I'm a self-taught ambidexter, which is, you know, I'm basically right-handed, but I use my left hand a lot. It took me years because, you know, I was in medical school and, you know, you're going to the OR, you're not going to like say, oh, can I practice on my left hand? No. So, you know, it took a while. I used to tell people it took 10 years of off and on doing it, but my nephew actually converted to left-handed, and it took him 4 months. You know, he just put his head down and he did it. He did it in 4 months. And so...
How old was he when he did that?
He was young. He was 18. He did it in high school. You know, if you really diligently do it, you can do it. But, you know, it takes determination because you're going against what you were born with. Your natural brain symmetry, you're going against it. And so, and it's really like learning a language. You know how hard it is to learn a language. It's like that too.
Yeah.
But if I can tell anyone what has made the biggest difference in my life, that's got to be it. That's definitely got to be it.
Wow. And did you formally teach this philosophy through that ambidexter organization? Is that something that you were formally doing at some point?
No, there's only one member. It's me.
Really?
I'm hoping to, you know, there was a, at the turn of the last century, there was a thing called the ambidextral cultural movement. The last century, not 19 to 2000, but 18 to 19, there was a thing called the ambidextral cultural society, whereby they were thinking that they were raising kids and teaching them to use both hands, but it failed. And it failed because they didn't understand the brain. And the brain is really hardwired from birth. You know, you're right or you're left-handed. The true ambidexter, people that use both hands, and there are some that exist on Earth, and that's the rarest brain, you know. Bill Gates writes with both hands. I've seen in interviews him say this.
You know, there's a little bit higher variance of talent, high and low, for left-handers, but never been explained.
And there's been some other really notable people, like they say Leonardo was ambidextrous. But the ambidextral cultural movement back in the 18 to the 1900s failed because they didn't understand the brain. And I don't think you can really move somebody from right-handed to left-handed until their brains are settled. And that means after 18 or 19. You know, once you get in your... I think the best time to do it is in their 20s when I did it. because you don't interrupt the way the brain is naturally forming. I think. I don't know. I don't have any scientific basis for this. I just can tell from what it's meant to my life. And, you know, I wish people would do it because it's meant so much to me. But it's very hard. It takes so much determination. But darn, if you can be a brain surgeon, you could switch hands. So
no, for sure. I mean, like,
or an orthopedic surgeon.
Even the boneheads can do it.
More so, actually. More so because it's very physical, you know? And so if you can take off some of the stress and move from right to left-handed, I think it helps you create longevity in your career.
Wow. No, I'm totally going to look into this. Like, if you were to, like, develop, like, a curriculum and you were going to, like, actually go forth with the Ambidexter Academy, and what type of, like, exercises would you, other than just writing, are there other things that you did to develop the use of your left hand, you know, like dribbling a basketball or, like, you know, whatever it is?
Well, you know, the thing is to become more aware. And so instead of, like, reaching for the doorknob with your right hand, reach for it with your left hand. Instead of, you know, putting the key in your door with your right hand, do it with your left hand. Try, you know, just little, start and brush your teeth with your left hand. And I joked with somebody prior because he said he was going to start off brushing his teeth with his left hand. I said, you may need a dental consult because, you know, it's a little bit rough in the beginning. You know, you're not as, you'd be surprised at how much of the side of your body you miss out in using. My thing is, like, you know, I keep going to this thing where you pass through this life once, you got another side that you don't use.
Right.
Why not deploy that to make your life more efficient?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a philosophical thought too, besides, you know, the actual doing of it. It's like, you know, kind of don't waste that side. Don't waste that side, because if it can help make your life better, then just, you know, might be something you might want to consider. But, you know, you start off with simple things. It's just trying to be aware of what you're not doing with that left hand. Is it just hanging there? You know, what are you not doing with it? Try to be aware of it. And then my feeling is, once you can write with your left hand, you're done. That click in your brain has gone off.
Yeah.
Just like you ride that bicycle, you come back to it 5 years later, you're rusty, but you can still ride it. Once you write with your left hand pretty well, you're done.
Wow.
Something has shifted over. Yeah, so that's something to think about. I hope
that's
people take it up. Yeah, I hope, because, you know, I think artists would really benefit from it also. Getting my
master's. I feel like everybody could, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I was getting my master's of fine art, which was, you know, so many paintings week after week after week, and I'd be working on a painting, and it was going nowhere. And then I would say, okay, go to your left hand. And all of a sudden, I broke through that barrier just by switching to the left hand. Yeah, so, you know, I've sometimes in art, just doing that, really, you get the color right, you get this right, you get that right. Yeah, it's been helpful, for sure, in art too.
This is fascinating. I'm totally going to try some of these things and report back if there's, if I'm able to do it. That sounds unbelievable. I guess, like, on this topic, is the idea that we have a dominant brain hemisphere have any scientific truth, or is that just like a myth perpetuated by the media?
Well, you know, the thing is, you know, we write with our right, you know, the world is mostly right-handed. And so the left hemisphere drives that right side, and speech is in the left hemisphere, and writing is, you know, you're driving your writing hand. So I think basically we're operating off the left hemisphere. You know, I think by switching to the other hand, you might access that other hemisphere a little bit. You know, by switching to the left hand, you might access that right hemisphere more.
Is it wrong to say that it's almost like a neuroplastic exercise?
Yeah, you know, I really think that my brain rewired when I switched over. Of course, this is one of those things where, you know, if I stood up and said it in a conference, they'd, you know, pretty much laugh. But, you know, I'm living, I feel like the reason I'm able to do, you know, art the way I'm able to do with not that much experience, it's only 10 years, you know, I think that switching over helped. And the other way of looking at it is, why not? You know, why not? If you have, you know, why not do it? If there's anything you can do to make your life better that doesn't hurt anybody, why not try using that other hand, you know? So anyway, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, I love that. I'm sure a lot of people that listen to our station are going to be just fascinated by so many things that you talked about, but I think they're definitely going to love this. And
great.
We'll get a few more members to the Ambidexter Academy here.
By the way, I'm gonna trademark that name. That's brilliant. Ambidexter Academy.
That's all yours. That's all yours.
Thank you.
No, of course.
Listen, we don't have much to go by, so if you guys would please just like and subscribe anywhere you see anything.
Medicine Remixed.
Like the shit out of it. Just click on it. It doesn't cost you anything. Just move your fat finger and click on it. You're clicking all kinds of other shit at work when you shouldn't be. God damn it.
Yeah.
But we appreciate it, and that's really, you know, the only surrogate market we have to go by. And listen, the other thing is, fucking tell people about it, man.
Tell your friends about us.
Tell your friends. I mean, I'm always amazed, man, when people think people are famous. Like, I've never been starstruck, ever. And the reason I've never been starstruck is because somebody said to me once, you know, the only reason that person's famous is because you made them famous.
Right.
I was like, what are you talking about? And they're like, stop caring who the fuck that is.
Yeah.
Watch how famous he is now. And it's like, holy fuck, you're right.
We give things meaning, man.
Yeah, absolutely. And
we give words meaning. We give
everything, man. And when people think like, oh, you know, my friend's an artist. He wants to make it big or whatever. You know something? Fucking support that. I mean, if he sucks, he sucks. But if he's even halfway good, man, you make people famous. I don't think people realize that. You make things important. And damn it, make us famous is what we're saying. Fucking tell people. No, but my point is that the only way this is going to get out and it's ever going to grow any legs to it is if people tell other people about it. And listen, if you don't like it, thank you for suffering through it. We love you. And if you like it, well, fucking tell somebody, man. And to be real honest, the feedback that we've gotten back so far, fucking great, man.
We appreciate it. Well, we're having a good time doing it. And this is our way to be creative within a field that really is an art and a science.
Sure.
But the art has been taken out of it for creative people in medicine. And there's a lot of them. There's a lot of like super talented people.
Absolutely.
This could be a forum for those people looking for a different way to express their craft through a more creative means.
Hit us up.
Yeah.
All right. We love you. Peace.
Peace.